Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge, your hometown voice. And now your host, the Rogue announcer, Jeff Smith.
And I am the Rogue announcer, Jeff Smith, and this is Rogue Talk for November 15th, 2019. So happy to be back behind the microphone to talk to you again today. And this is one of my favorite shows of the year. I think I said that last week when I was letting you know what this week's show would be. But we've got some members of the Rogue River chapter of the FFA coming in to tell us all about their national convention and about other things that have been going on with our fabulous FFA chapter. These are a great bunch of kids and they've done some great things and they've got a lot of cool stuff to report to us today. So we'll get to that in just a bit. If you'd like to call the show, you can do that at 541-299-0498, 541-299-0498, or you can email the show. The email address is feedback@943thebridge.com, and put Rogue Talk in the subject line, and those will come right to my inbox. You can also go on to Facebook, look up Rogue Talk on Facebook. You can message me through the Facebook page. You can also... there's also room for public posting, and go on there and like the page. We love having you here and we would love to know who you are and that you're out there. So go on and like that Facebook page. And again, you can, if you've got ideas for upcoming shows or people that you think I should interview or any kind of feedback you want, you can go on there and do that. Or again, through the email, you can do that as well. So love to hear from that. Well, taking a look at the news, of course, you can't escape the impeachment hearings. That the public version of the impeachment hearings starting on Wednesday, and they continued today. And of course, today was the former ambassador to Ukraine, Marie Yovanovitch, and it was similar testimony, at least the part that I was able to see today. And I got to be honest with you, I can't sit through a whole lot of it, especially the beginning part where, you know, once they start doing the clock, basically, where each person has 5 minutes and they switch between the Democrat and the Republican, Democrat, Republican, and then when their time is up, they cut them off and stop them. I didn't even make it to that part. I had better things to do. It's really not engaging because we're not learning anything. I watched a little bit of the beginning testimony where the lawyer brought in by the Democrats was questioning Ms. Yovanovitch. And first of all, it was very repetitive. And maybe that plays in a trial where you have a jury and you want to reinforce points, and it was kind of like, your glasses are red, Miss Yovanovitch, is that right? And she would say, yes, these are red glasses. So you're telling me those are red glasses? Yes. As I stated in my earlier testimony, my glasses are red. And it's just painful to watch. And again, I understand what they're doing as a lawyer. They're trained to hammer home certain things, and you know, it's even something they tell you about, you know, like doing maybe a radio show like this. You tell them what you're going to tell them, then you tell it to them, and then you tell them what you told them. So I would say, we're going to talk to the FFA. Then I talk to the FFA. And then when we're done, I would say, we just talked to the FFA, as if you weren't there for the whole thing. But I get it, but it makes for really dull TV. And we're not learning anything because there's been three witnesses over the 2 days of testimony. None of these witnesses have any evidence. It's all opinion. and it's all hearsay. They have no direct evidence of their own. So really, what they're doing right now is they're like character witnesses, except they're negative character witnesses. Clearly, these people all cannot stand the president, and I don't blame them in a lot of, you know, ways. I mean, there's a lot of people that don't like the president because of his personality, because of the way he talks, because of, you know, he's had a kind of checkered past, especially when it comes to relationships. You know, there's a lot of things not to like. So I understand anyone that, you know, has some animus for the president. But these are government employees that serve at the pleasure of the president. They're in the executive branch of the government, which means he's their boss, and they take their marching orders from him. And if you don't like the marching orders, then you leave. But you don't play this little game and join in on this phony impeachment. And I'm sorry, I'm sounding partisan, but this whole thing is drummed up baloney. It's phony. We have the transcript now of two phone calls. There's nothing there. You may not like his policy. You may not like the fact that he mentioned the Bidens. But the fact of the matter is, everything we know about Trump's dealings with Ukraine are nothing close to what Biden told Ukraine when he was withholding loan guarantees until they fired a prosecutor that he said was corrupt. Now, we can argue whether he was protecting his son or not, but the fact of the matter is, we have him bragging about doing that, and Trump didn't come anywhere close to what Biden was doing at the time. So, again, if it's good for the goose, it's good for the gander. I'm not a special pleader for the president, but there's just nothing here. And they're bringing in these people that can't stand the president. And a side thing, and we kind of learned it a little bit more today with Marie Yovanovitch, they really don't like Rudy Giuliani. Now, I wish the president had a little better judgment when he hired lawyers, because his track record's not real good. You know, Giuliani was great as the top cop of New York. As a lawyer, not so good. However, if Trump wants him as his point man in Ukraine for whatever reason, there's nothing illegal about that. There's nothing wrong with that. He runs the executive branch. He can hire and fire whoever he likes. And if he thinks Rudy Giuliani should be leading the corruption investigations in Ukraine, he's entitled to that. And I don't care if all of the lifelong bureaucrats don't like it. Obama did a lot of things that some of the bureaucrats...
You're listening to Rogue Problem. Talk on 94.3 The Bridge.
With SRN News, I'm Ron DeRockstra. Second day of House Intelligence Committee hearings concluded, but not without some fireworks between Chairman Adam Schiff and Ohio Republican Jim Jordan, who was trying to clarify a question for former Ambassador to Ukraine, Maria Yovanovitch. President Trump launching fireworks of his own with tweets earlier in the day critical of Ms. Yovanovitch. At a post-hearing press conference, New York Republican Elise Stefanik said on a scale of importance, the tweets don't measure up as a constitutional issue. The House Intelligence Committee will hear from eight more impeachment witnesses next week. Roger Stone, a longtime friend and ally of President Trump, has been found guilty at his trial in federal court in Washington today. He was charged in a 7-count indictment that alleged he lied to lawmakers about WikiLeaks, tampered with witnesses, and obstructed a House Intelligence Committee probe. This is SRN News.
Bringing you Rogue River's weather forecast at the top of every hour, this is meteorologist Ann Holliday with 94.3 The Bridge.
With SRN Sports, I'm Michael Harrington. We're going to start with AP Top 25 College Basketball, a marquee matchup last night of the number 3 and 12 ranked teams. Michigan State gets by.
Third-ranked Michigan State edged Seton Hall 76-73 in Newark. Freshman Malik Hall's layup with 26 seconds left gave the Spartans a 74-73 lead that held up as Seton Hall missed two chances to regain the lead in the final seconds. Cassius Winston's two free throws with under 4 seconds to play added to State's lead. The Pirates' Miles Powell missed the desperation heave at the buzzer that would have tied it. Seton Hall could not contain Malik Hall, who scored all 17 of his points in the second half, capped by the game winner. The Pirates' Powell led all scorers with 37 points. I'm Tom Merriam.
Elsewhere, number 15, Florida beat Towson 66-60. Number 19, Arizona over San Jose State 87-39. Number 18, St. Mary's of California, also a winner. This is SRN Sports. In the NBA yesterday, it was Miami over Cleveland 108-97. Bucks 124, Chicago 115. The Clippers were felled by New Orleans 132-127. New York 106, Dallas 103. It was the Suns over the Hawks 128-112. Nuggets 101 and the Nets 93. NFL Thursday Night Football, Baker Mayfield threw for two touchdowns and ran for another as the Browns ended the Pittsburgh Steelers' four-game winning streak 21-7. Mayfield 17 of 32 passing for 193 yards and no interceptions to help Cleveland win their second straight and get to 4-6. In the National Hockey League last night, it was Carolina over the Sabres 5-4 in overtime. Jets 4, Florida 3. Tampa Bay beat the Rangers 9-3. It was Minnesota 3 and Arizona 2. Oilers over Colorado 6-2. Sharks 5, Ducks 3. Dallas got the better of Vancouver by a 4-2 score. This is SRN Sports.
Welcome back to Rogue Talk, and I apologize for that getting cut off there. We've been having some gremlins in our computer system the last few weeks, and we're trying to get them ironed out, and apparently I missed one of those gremlins today when I was getting set to do the show, so we'll keep working on that. But to finish the point I was making is that it really doesn't matter what they think of Giuliani. It really doesn't matter what they think of the president. If we're going to have impeachment hearings, there needs to be a crime, high crimes and misdemeanors. We don't have that right now. We have a lot of bluster, but no real facts. And you know, related to that, if you notice the media coverage, they've quit using the term quid pro quo because they figured out there was no quid pro quo, at least not an illegal one. They, you know, any kind of foreign aid has it has some things attached to it that have to be met. You know, we don't just give away free money, or at least we're not supposed to. If we're giving aid to a country, there has to be some things in place. You know, there has to be a quid pro quo. So, but there was no illegal one. So now the media is pushing this idea of bribery, and that's because they focus tested the term bribery and they found out that that was more effective. And of course, bribery is in the Constitution under the impeachment clause. So, you know, let's push that bribery term. Well, there's no evidence of bribery or an illegal quid pro quo. And again, I don't want to be a special pleader for the president. In fact, I would prefer not to be. But this is a ridiculous waste of time. And I hope it ends soon, because unless they find something better than what they've got, this is just, it's just a farce. So another bit of a farce in the news before we get to our FFA interview. Last night, I don't know if any of you were watching last night's Thursday night football game. I don't watch a whole lot of the NFL anymore. I happened to be watching the end of last night's game and it got ugly. And there was a play with about 8 seconds left in the game. The game was already decided. The Browns were going to beat the Steelers. And Myles Garrett was in on the quarterback, Mason Rudolph. He was tackling him. The ball had already been released, and he brought him all the way to the ground. And I had kind of looked away. I had noticed that I figured they were going to throw a flag on that for you know, roughing the passer or a late hit or whatever they wanted to, however they were going to term that. Well, all of a sudden, a fight had broken out. And when you watch the replays, as he's pulling him down, Mason Rudolph is pushing at his helmet, trying to rip the helmet off of Myles Garrett. Well, Garrett didn't like that. He ripped the helmet off of the quarterback, Mason Rudolph, and proceeded to strike him in the head with it. And he's been suspended indefinitely from the NFL. Some other players have gotten some suspensions and some fines. There's probably more going to come out of that, but it was an ugly, ugly incident. And I know Myles Garrett has apologized today. I don't think it's going to help him. He's going to be out for the season and for the playoffs if the Browns happen to make it to the playoffs. So, ugly incident, not good. And so that's all the news and sports we got for you since we've already had the break. This morning I got to meet with some students from the Rogue River FFA, and so let's get to that interview right now. Welcome back to Rogue Talk. And now joining me in the studios from the Rogue River High School FFA chapter, we have Savannah Stillwagner, Cassidy Hager, and Gabe Tambellini. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thank you,
Jeff.
Yeah, it's great to have you back. The FFA, always an important part of Rogue Talk, so we love to have you here. And you guys have been involved in some pretty cool stuff. You were off at the national convention. Gabe, why don't you tell us what that's all about, the convention itself?
So the 92nd FFA National Convention is a few different things. For the state delegates, they discuss some FFA law and policy and update it as much as they need. There's committees. They elect the 2019-2020 officer team that'll go throughout the country and do some lessons. They'll meet with state delegations. They do a lot. Our own Courtney Lehman from Oregon got elected to national secretary. That was awesome. And then we got to see Shea Booster's retiring address. He was our national Western Region vice president. But overall, the convention for people that aren't delegates is a time to meet with industry, college, other FFA members, go to workshops, just better yourself and experiences with leadership, community involvement, and really just come back to your community and chapter with a lot of ideas and plans to better that chapter and community.
Okay, well, and of course there's some competitions that you had to qualify for through the regional competitions, I believe, in order to compete at the national level, is that right?
Yeah, most of the competitions, only the state first place will go. So anyone that competed either won state and was able to go.
So that's pretty impressive just to be there, to make it there. You were first in the state. So before we get into the competitions and the things that you guys participated in, and all three of you were involved in that, Cassidy, there was something else that happened for a couple of former chapter members. Who were those members, and what was that award that they received?
So the American degree is the highest degree that an FFA member can achieve. They have to be a year out of high school, 2 years out of high school. And we had Amber Cripps and Zoe Reeder receive their American degree. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, and we've had both of them on the show, and they're just part of a long line of really, really impressive, you know, accomplishments from the FFA chapter. And it was kind of fun for me to see that kind of pop up in my news feed on social media that they had done that, because they've been on the show. Amber's been on the show two or three times, and Zoe was on last year, and it's fun to watch the success beyond high school. So I'll go back to you, Gabe, for a second. What is the American degree?
So the American degree is the highest honor that FFA, like Cassidy said, can give to you. And there's a lot of components that go into it. And I think that's really incredible that Amber and Zoe were not only able to achieve that, but they're also the first members of Rogue River FFA to do that. So they're an inspiration for a lot of our younger members. On the path right now, we have Andy Herrings and Laura Howard also trying to achieve theirs in the next year. But some of the base requirements that maybe, you know, a lot of people don't realize is, first of all, you need at least 2 years in some sort of agriculture education, and that can be a lot of different ways. For instance, Amber is studying at Purdue, as well as Zoe is studying at OSU, but like Andy is going through the firefighter program, and that's also agriculture education in natural resources. One of the other requirements is a minimum of $10,000 earned or just earned, or a minimum of 2,500 hours invested into your supervised agriculture experience. So that's something you're doing outside of class, outside of college, outside of your regular daily life, and then reporting and logging that on the Agricultural Experience Tracker.
Wow, so it's not easy. And so did you mention, or I think you did, that this is the highest award you can get from FFA, is that right?
It really is.
Yeah, so pretty impressive.
And less than 1% of FFA members have them.
Wow. And so we had two from one class that got it, and we have two more that are hoping to get it, and we've had both of them in here too, and I think they can continue the dominance from Rogue River FFA. So I'm going to jump around in my notes a little bit here, and let's move over to Savannah Stillwagner. Savannah, we're going to start talking about what you guys did now in your competitions. You were involved in AgriScience Fair, and so tell us what that is and tell us how you did.
So basically, the AgriScience Fair is a huge, basically, science fair where a bunch of students from around the whole nation come, and they've won state in their division, and there's multiple different divisions. I specifically was in Division 3, which was social science. I had a survey on xenotransplantation, and if you don't know what that is, it's transplanting animal organs into humans, so like heart valves and lungs and all that sort of stuff, but there's a lot of different types of divisions that are like plant science, animal science, stuff like that. And it's really cool to just watch everyone bring their science boards and posters into the convention center, and everyone can walk around and look at them. So that was really cool. Everyone who did qualify was able to do an interview in front of two or three judges, and that was really cool because you just got to stand there and talk for like 10 minutes on something that you're really passionate about. So that was really fun that I got to do that experience.
Yeah, definitely. And now when you're doing this project, do you have to cover like the pros and the cons, or are you just giving all the information to put out there for people to make their own determinations?
Well, so on the poster that I created, I did just your normal like science fair project board with the hypothesis, the conclusion, the results, all that sort of stuff. And my survey was on people like if they disagree or agree with xenotransplantation. So that was kind of my aspect. So I showed the results of that. And then whenever I got to do the interview, I got to talk about how I think about those results and how I can kind of use that in the future of agriculture and what I can use to like take that with me in future years if I want to expand on this project or further it any more than that.
Okay. Well, and you said a typical, you know, science fair board, and you say that like I can still remember that. Not quite, but no, that's really cool. And that was kind of what I was expecting, was maybe that the judges would push you a little more on, you know, the pros and cons and the you know, backing up your information, and it sounds like they did that.
Yeah.
And so you finished 7th?
Yes, I got silver in my division.
So 7th in the nation. That's pretty impressive. We've had some great finishes from all throughout the chapter, throughout the years that I've been covering it here on Rogue Talk, and just another great one. So excuse me, losing my voice this morning, or today. I don't even know what time it is. So let's move back to Cassidy. Cassidy, you were part of a team, and I'm going to let you say this so I don't mess it up. Tell us what team you were on, and tell us who was involved and how you guys did.
I was on the National Floriculture Team. Anna Howard, Diana Wilbacher, Savannah Stillwagner, myself, Wyatt Stillwagner. Yeah, that was all. We all competed at Nationals, so we won first place at state, and then we have been studying all summer. And basically at this competition, they have a test bank that could have anything on it. So all summer we were studying anything that had to do with plants. Then we have a math kind of portion of it, and they give us 10 problems, and we have to solve them. Then we do a growing procedure, which could be asexual propagation, any of that, but that was the one that was at the competition. Then we have media selling, which they give us a paper and with everything that we need, and then we try to either take a video, we have to make a flyer. But this year we took a video, like a Facebook Live, and we took a video and had to pretty much tell everyone about this special that was going on. Then we have plant ID, tool ID. We had a mixed planter this year, and job interview was another one. And what was that one? Oh, no. hazardous situation,
okay.
Which is where,
right.
Like, say a chemical spills, you have to look at an MSDS sheet and tell them basically how you're going to take care of that problem.
Well, it covers a lot of stuff. I didn't realize how many different things. I mean, I think of floriculture, I think it's about plants, but there's a lot more to plants than just seeds and dirt. And yeah, that's pretty impressive, because I'm well aware of MSDS sheets. I used to work in industrial parts, and I did hydraulic repair, and you can imagine the zillions of chemicals, and everyone has an MSDS sheet, and we had to have a binder full of MSDS sheets. So yes, I understand that, and how difficult that can be just by itself. So looking at some of the results, so you finished 16th overall, so again, 16th in the nation, folks. That's what we're talking about here. All of these are this is a national event that they were at, and you were silver, which is in the top 16 of the individuals, and Savannah, you were gold.
Yes.
And then also Diana Weilbacher and Anna Howard also were gold. Now, what is gold? Is top four? Did I get that right?
Individual placing for gold is a little different.
Oh, okay.
It's like the top 30 or something like that. I don't really know the exact number, but it's around that.
All right. So individuals, it's obviously the numbers are bigger. So yeah, it includes more people. So very good. That's super impressive. So let's move back over to Gabe, because Gabe had another word that I hate to say. He I'm going to let him handle this one too. You finished in your competition, you were in the silver category. Now, in yours, silver was top 16. That's where I got confused. Gold would be top four.
Correct.
And so tell us what that was and what you did for that.
So my contest was extemporaneous speaking, and this contest is different than your prepared public speaking, where you have to prepare a 6 to 8 minute speech on an agricultural topic. In extemporaneous speaking, you get six categories. You get agri-marketing, international agriculture, I'm forgetting them all.
That's all right.
Food and fiber. There's six categories, and basically they can drop topics on anything in agriculture from those six categories. So in the preliminary round, there are about 10 rooms of five, because there were 50 students that competed at the national level, around one from each state. And only the top two from each room advanced to the semifinals, giving you around 16 for the silver category.
Oh, okay.
And then from there, the top four, so the top two from each room in semifinals, will advance to finals for the gold category. And I was not fortunate enough to move on in the semifinals, but I did get to compete with the semifinalists in the top 16 in the nation, and that was incredible. For how the contest works, out of the 18 topics that are presented for each round, you draw three, and from those three, you choose one to write a speech on. And you get 30 minutes to write and prepare a 4 to 6 minute speech with questions in front of a panel of judges. And it was an interesting, you know, I got GMOs for my first preliminary topic round, which is, you know, it's always a touchy subject, but I love the topic. And then for my semifinalist speech, I got one that was kind of unique for our area. I got to talk about the uses of hemp in the coming future and its impacts on agriculture, which was very interesting because, you know, my panel of judges were, a couple of them were from Kansas. They were soybean farmers, you know, people that have been in agriculture for four, maybe three generations. So, you know, they could have taken either stance that they wanted, and they seemed to very adoptive of my speech, and that was very relieving for me. They were very detailed. My comments helped me a lot. I was able to, you know, like, they were very fine-tuned on how they picked out what they wanted and what was wrong, and I was just very honored to compete. I have tons of thanks that go out for my preparing. Bambino, of course, being the most, my coach and advisor. And then a few of the things that she set up for on my journey. I got to go to Pure Mind Farms in the Willamette Valley, and they showed me how diversification is crucial. I got to go to the Oregon Department of Agriculture, talk with some of the head departments and Director Taylor, and I got to travel to the Oregon Senate to talk to Chief of Staff. And I mean, there were just so many journeys, and even locally, Del Rio Vineyards, I gave a couple of speeches to them and got to talk to Clayton Wallace, and he helped me with some information on our local vineyards, value-added agriculture, and even biodiversified agriculture. There was just a lot that it's, that's part of the contest, is there's literally anything under the sun in agriculture they can ask you about.
So you lost me at GMO. Once we got past GMO, I was lost. But actually, I want to ask you about a couple of those things, and I don't mean to put you on the spot if you don't know the answers, that's fine. But you got to speak about a couple of interesting topics that are topical to our region, if not, you know, the nation at large. Let's start with GMOs. I know very little about GMOs, except my feeling was, I think some GMO technology is better than hybrids because it's more precise, and some is a little scary to me, like making plants that are resistant to chemicals such as glyphosate and other things seems like it sets up a bad practice, because I don't want food that's been coated with glyphosate, because it's resistant to it doesn't mean that we don't maybe get that in our food. Am I on the right track on some of this? And maybe you can, you know, tell me a little bit more about that.
I can. And that technology you're talking about with the resistance to glyphosate actually phased out quite a while ago. They use CRISPR-Cas9 predominantly now. CRISPR is basically a program where they introduce bacteria to plant cells, their stem cells, and the bacteria introduce a new gene. The plant then adopts this gene through the protein Cas9. So that protein chain is added, they adopt it, and they reproduce with that as they grow. But here's the thing a lot of people don't know about Cas9 reproduction, is it's not passed on to offspring. So a lot of GMO concerns are that basically these plants could continue to reproduce and spread throughout the nation. You know, there's always that concern that GMO and non-GMO are going to intertwine, but that's actually not a big fear, and it's very much not possible in a lot of the regions.
So this idea of one neighbor's crop infecting your crop is not, in this particular technology, is not a concern.
With the newer forms of technology, it's really not. And I think that that's a huge thing when we talk about GMOs, because they really are revolutionary for the future. One of the products that I got to talk about in my speech is called Golden Rice. It was developed right down south in California Tech. And this, all they did with CRISPR-Cas9 was basically move a nutrient up into the harvested part of the rice, and this nutrient, it helps combat breast cancer, blindness, and many other eye-related conditions and diseases. And they shipped a couple million tons to Africa and saved around 18 million women's lives. And this GMO rice, like, there's still concerns that people don't eat it, but it's one of the very few GMO products that's approved by the FDA for human consumption.
Yeah, and that was kind of my very limited knowledge was, is, you know, we eat a lot of foods that are hybrid foods. The russet potato and almost all the apples we eat are some sort of a hybrid, and we never worried about that. Yet with GMO technology, they can introduce specific genes to get exactly the outcome they want without the unknowns of hybrid technologies. So I'm glad you kind of cleared that up and got to, you know, talk about a hybrid that would have been, maybe we would have tried to do with, you know, again, with the hybrids. Now we can do with GMO technology. And I think a lot of people, they've heard about all the nasty things, and so they lump it all together. And I'm glad you're here to kind of clear that up, because that, it makes a big difference.
And advocation is so important when it comes to topics like that. And I think that GMOs will play a huge role in the future. And it's important that we get to our consumers and show them that they're not scared. area, and they are, in fact, making huge strides for feeding the future population.
Yeah, definitely. So, and now I've forgotten what the other one was I was going to ask you about. Well, the hemp. The hemp, probably. You know, of course, we've seen a lot of that here. And if either one of you also have something you can add, I don't mean to, I'm not trying to focus it just on Gabe, but he obviously had to dive into these issues a little bit with his competition. So what do we need to know about hemp? Because obviously, if you get on social media, between the pot farmers and the hemp farmers, there's so much misinformation being put out there. What is the future of hemp as an agricultural product?
I think it's very interesting because a lot of people focus on cannabis indica, which grown primarily here. It's the CBD strain. It's the very short kind of squabby plant that they've pressed for oils. And I think the biggest thing about that is that's not really the incredible piece about hemp. It is vital, and they go through so much testing. I mean, the rules and regulations came out just a couple weeks ago. The day before my speech on hemp, the rules and regulations actually came out on industrial hemp production. I mean, they have to test, and then they only get a certain time frame where they can harvest, so it's very grueling process, and they really do a lot of hands-on work. It's not like you jump on a harvester and you just go mow it down. You know, they spend hours and hours out in the field doing detailed work. But I think the really cool part, and this is where the future of hemp will come, is cannabis or sativa, which is fiber hemp. Now, this plant can grow anywhere from 6 to 14 feet tall with just a few bud for CBD, but the fibers within the plant are literally used in so many products, from hempcrete, which is a hemp and lime plaster used to prevent cracking from heat. It's a solidifier. It helps concrete last longer, to hemp clothing, hemp supercapacitors, which was one of my favorite things, that they can even make supercapacitors out of hemp fiber, and they're even more effective than graphene and cheaper to make. So, I mean, there's just, that's why I think that fiber hemp will be a huge cash crop for the U.S. is because not only its history, but also the fact that it's, I mean, there's so many different market options for it that if one crashes, you can, you know, you have time to look for another. And I think that that's some of the things. Fiber hemp can be used as an organic alternative for pest and weed control because of the way the roots grow and the stalks grow. And I think there's so many uses for it that it really will be a very big product, not in just our state, but across the U.S. as well.
Yeah, and I think that's where a lot of people get confused. You know, they drive out East Evans and they see the big hemp farm that's had some controversy, and not because of what they're doing there, but because of some incidents that have happened there. But they see these little squatty little plants, and they see them out there dying in the fields right now in the frost, and they wonder why haven't they done anything with those plants? And I don't know. I read these things, and I don't know anything about what's going on there, but I know that that's not the hemp that you're talking about is really where the biggest opportunity in hemp is. I mean, CBD oil is proving to be a beneficial medicinal type product, but it's one product. It's
right.
One with a few uses, but it's one product, where what you're talking about, the fiber hemp is, it got so many uses. I mean, I've heard flooring. I just recently heard the one you talked about with concrete, and then of course, you know, clothing and all kinds of things. So I think it's important that whenever we can get out the information, you know, to help people kind of understand you know, what you're seeing out there in Weimar right now is not even close to the whole picture.
Well, I think it's even, I've heard that brought up like three or four times in the past week, and I think it's interesting to talk about that field right on Minthorn's Corner, mm-hmm, with all the dried out, and, you know, a lot of people think that it's molding and it's dying, and that's what, and they think that they're not caring for it, but actually that field is working towards organic practices where they don't allow them to dry them with blow dryers and fans in the barns, and we've had some fires. And that's, you know, they're doing safe, sustainable practices with that, letting it dry in the field. And there's that small portion that they did harvest, they just sent that in for testing, and that's why none of the rest of the field is harvested. They're making sure that they have the right amount of THC, so it's still considered hemp. And one of the safety procedures that the USDA put out that I think is very important for people to know is that if it's found to be over 0.3% THC, they have to burn or dispose of the entire crop, the whole field. So, I mean, these producers are really, they are going through the practices to make sure they're on the ball.
Yeah, and we don't get a lot of that on social media. You know, you get the hearsay and the you know, the competition maybe throwing in their little dig. So let's get back to the ladies just for a bit. We've gotten to know Gabe over the last couple of times we've had him in, and if you don't listen to Rogue Talk every week, you know Gabe because he's on the football team, and so you've listened to him here on 94.3 The Bridge. But let's talk to the ladies a little bit. Let's get back to, let's start with you, Cassidy. Tell me what other things you have done that you have enjoyed in FFA, not necessarily that you competed at nationally, but other things that you have participated in.
So I've competed in a lot of CDEs. Last year I went to my first state convention, which is super fun, but not lots of sleep. But it was so much fun for my first time going, and it was pretty much just a party. And I got to meet so many people that live here in Oregon that it was just so cool. And I had a huckleberry smoothie. It's like my new favorite smoothie now. And then CDE-wise, Vet Science, which is coming up soon, that is my favorite CDE, but having floriculture. So now I have two.
Yeah. Now, what year are you?
I'm a junior.
You're a junior.
Yeah.
And Gabe, you're a senior. Mm-hmm. And Savannah?
I'm a junior.
You're a junior. See, and that's where Savannah's here because she went to national convention, but Savannah would have been here anyhow because I had already put a plug in to get Savannah here. And I'm going to tell that story real quick because I was invited to, well, by one of our American Degree winners, Amber Cripps, had invited me to the awards ceremony when you were a freshman. And you gave a speech at that awards banquet, and I was like, wow, that was impressive. And she's a freshman, so I told her, I ran into her, I ran into her and I said, I'm going to make sure that you get on the show next time because I was really impressed. So Savannah, tell me what other things you have competed in and you have enjoyed in your FFA experience.
Well, like you said, I did a speech freshman year, I did another speech last year. They've both been on the same topic, xenotransplantation, like my science project. I don't know why, that's just something that I've got into, and it's super cool. But a few other things that I like to do, I'm involved in Parley Pro, Parliamentary Procedure, which is, it's kind of hard to explain, but basically it's this big debate team with a bunch of rules, and you have to just say what you think about certain agricultural topics and debate your side of it and what you think Oregon FFA should support. It's this whole thing, and there's a whole team. Gabe was on it last year. Gabe's been on it for a few years, actually. Cassidy was on it last year, too. So it's something that's really exciting, and there's a lot of FFA members involved in it. I don't do vet science, but Cassidy does vet science, and I like to help. There's a little skit thing that they do, and I am involved in theater also, so I help with that skit, which is basically vet science like present topics that are happening right now in the veterinary science field. So that's really cool that I get to help them with that. I've done floriculture. I'm going to try to do some new things this year. I'm thinking about doing job interview at the floriculture competition. That was like my favorite part of the whole thing was job interviewing. I like to talk, I guess. So it's really fun for me. And I think I might try food science this year. That's another CDE where you kind of have to test a bunch of different foods, find the differences between some, and you have to like research the food industry, like safety procedures and all that sort of stuff. So it's really cool, and I'm very interested in doing that this year too. So, well,
yeah, that sounds great. And I love to see the passion you guys have. I mean, I love to see how your eyes light up when you talk about your favorite subjects. It's really cool. And I mean, I'm gonna be honest. I'm 50 years old, and I still have things. I get excited about coming in here and doing this. And I've been, you know, my whole career has been industrial parts and landscaping. And so when I got a chance to start doing radio, I light up the way I see you guys light up. So it's really cool. It's fun to watch. And now do any of you think your career is going to be in a, in an agriculture related, or are you, do you have other aspirations? Let's start, let's stay with you, Savannah. Let's start with you.
I don't exactly know what I want to do. It's
that's okay. It's I'm 50 very... and I just figured it out. So there
yeah,
you go.
There's so much out there to do. I've actually been getting that question a lot because, like, being a junior, you got to kind of start thinking about it. So it's kind of scary, but I have been thinking about being an ag teacher. It hasn't been something that I've been thinking about for a long time, but it is something that's kind of on my radar. Actually, at National Convention, I got to talk to a bunch of colleges about ag education, so that was really cool. I got to see, like, their scholarship programs, their, I got to talk to people who are in majoring in ag education, so that was really cool. So I'm definitely focusing on that right now, kind of, but there is a, there is a lot out there, so I'm not sure exactly yet, but that's just one of the things.
Well, and it's hard not to focus on that when you have such good instructors as Miss Bambino and Mr. Herringshaw.
Definitely.
They make that look very attractive because they're very good at what they do. And yeah, who wouldn't want to be one of them? I mean, yeah. It looks like a pretty fun job. So you get true. To hang out with kids like you. I mean, you know, that's why this is one of my favorite shows, because I get you guys in here. So, Cassidy, what are your aspirations? Do you know what you want to be?
I have some idea. I have a huge love for animals, dogs in specific.
So,
I want to become a veterinarian so that I get to work with animals and just help them be their happy selves.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and you're both juniors, so you need to make sure you're really good friends with Miss Acosta and Miss Smith, because they're going to help you take that next step. And junior year is when it really starts to get serious. I'm sure Gabe knows that. You really got to start, get on the ball. I know, you know, Cameron did really well with Sweet Rewards last year, but he started late and he needed to start a little earlier, and he still did pretty well, but there's a lot of work, but there's a lot of scholarships out there and a lot of things you can do to make the next 4 years after you get out of high school a little bit easier. And College and Career Center can definitely help you with that. So we're going to run out of time, but we got a couple more things we want to touch on really quick. And I'll let Gabe handle this. John Winares also has a national competition she's involved in. Tell us about that.
So, yeah, Jonlyn couldn't be here today because she is on her way currently to Louisville, Kentucky, and she is competing with the very own Jackson County 4-H livestock judging team. She's been practicing nonstop at national convention, working on judging classes online and doing as much work as she can to be prepared for this, and I think that she's put in a lot of work, so I thought we'd give her a little send-off on the radio and a good luck to Jonlyn as she
definitely
competes
so.
With the 4-H team.
Yeah, and I've been kind of watching, you know, she's had a lot of stuff going on throughout the summer with, you know, showing, agricultural showing of animals, and of course she comes from a family of that, and she's done very well. We've talked about some of her accomplishments previously on Rogue Talk. So good luck, Jonlyn. We know you're going to do great, and we're pulling for you. We wish we could be there with you, because then we wouldn't be here. But
right.
and the last thing, of course, we'll have you guys back. We always do to promote the beef feed, but tell us just quickly, when is the beef feed this year, or actually next year?
Our annual beef feed and auction is February 1st, 2020, and I encourage all of you listeners to go. It's an incredible dinner, it's an incredible ceremony, and it just is very powerful to see how much of the community comes to this event.
I had been to two award ceremonies. I finally made it to my first beef feed this past year, and I was super, my wife doesn't get involved a lot with the things that I'm doing outside of my business, and we went, and Gabe's grandparents outbid me on some golf clubs, so I'm a little bitter about that, but we had such a good time, and my wife said to me, she said, next year I think we're going to sponsor a table, we're going to buy a table. And I was like, I was taken aback a little bit, because we don't do a lot of community stuff. I mean, I'm involved with the stuff that I do with the radio, and she was so impressed with that event that she definitely wants to go back this year, and she wants to get a table this year, and, you know, maybe I'll bring enough money to get those golf clubs this year. So well, that's great. And again, I mean, if you're looking for someone to give you the huge kudos, you're in the right place. I'm a huge proponent of our FFA program. I'm so impressed with how it's been, and you guys are just continuing that. So we're going to run out of time. I wish we could stay longer, but Gabe Tambellini, Cassidy Hager, Savannah Stillwagner, thank you so much for coming in, and thank you for being amazing students. I mean, you guys, these national honors are pretty impressive, and it's fun to watch. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
And we'll take a break here and be back with more Rogue Talk. And actually, we won't take a break. That was our interview we recorded a little earlier. And what a great time having those kids in here. And you can see why it's always one of my favorite shows. Impressive young people. No matter which kids they send down here, they're always so impressive. And their accomplishments continue to impress. And I want to give a big thank you to both of the ag teachers, Miss Bambino helping me coordinate this interview. And, of course, Mr. Herringshaw has always had a willingness to include us in the chapter, in what goes on in the chapter, and he's always been open to having Rogue Talk and the radio station a part of that. So we're so thankful for both of them. And finally, that it, kind of a side thing is that what we talked about with the hemp industry, but more specifically, that explanation that Gabe gave us about the local hemp growing and what's actually happening there. Because I've seen so much stuff on social media, and so many people think they know something and they really don't. And you know, I love to go on social media and comment and put in my two cents, but we have too many people that throw in their two cents, but they pretend like they know something and they really don't. And I saw so many things that if what Gabe is saying is true, and I have no reason to doubt that he knows what's going on. This is something that he's, you know, involved in understanding those things. That's part of what he had to do in his competition. It just means that there's a lot of people that just like to, you know, deal in innuendo and rumor, and they don't really have the facts. And it's an interesting thing. I can't stand the smell of those plants. So when I drive past there, I don't like it, but it makes me feel good that the people that are growing the hemp, for instance, that are so concerned with being, you know, organic and being, you know, proper and going through all of the proper channels and to get certified and whatever all those things that Gabe was talking about were, that they're taking those steps. And that's a big deal. And I'm glad to hear we have responsible people in the industry here, you know, here in our valley. So we're going to take a quick break and we'll wrap things up after the break.
You're listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge.
With SRN News, I'm Ron DeRockstra. The second open house impeachment hearing is over. Former ambassador to Ukraine Marie Yovanovitch testified for about 5 hours today, telling investigators about her ouster in May and President Trump's direction and how she felt she had found out that he criticized her in a July phone call with Ukraine's president. The House Intelligence Committee hears 8 more witnesses next week. Roger Stone, a longtime friend and ally of President Trump, found guilty today at his trial in federal court. He was charged in a 7-count indictment that alleged he lied to lawmakers. He faces up to 50 years in prison, sentencing scheduled for February 6th. The president has released the rough transcript of a congratulatory phone call he had with the incoming president of Ukraine, holding it out as evidence he did nothing wrong at the center of the whole impeachment. This is SRN News.
Where the rooster crows. 94.3, The Bridge.
Oh, I wish there was a way to find out what events are going on in Rogue River.
There is.
There is?
Yeah, the website for 94.3, The Bridge.
They have Rogue River events on their website?
Yeah, for Gold Hill, Weimar, and Grants Pass, too. You can even submit your own event for everyone in town to see. And if it's on the website, they automatically talk about it on the radio, too.
That's awesome. What's the address to this site?
It's 943thebridge.com.
N-I-N.
No. Just type the numbers, 943thebridge.com.
Oh, 943thebridge.com. Hey, look, they have the latest local news on there, too.
They have everything on there. 943thebridge.com.
My savings are gone.
Okay, where were they last?
Here, right before I spent them on that vacation to Aruba.
Weird. Not weird. Not saving now means no money later. For free ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
To Rogue Talk, and I want to once again thank the FFA chapter at Rogue River for coming on the show again today, and everyone involved. We're always happy to have you a part of Rogue Talk, and I've got one announcement that I don't want to have to make, but I will, so that if you were planning on attending the opening of the school play tonight at Rogue River High School. There's been a cancellation for tonight. I've got this a little while ago off of Facebook, and I'll just read it to you here. Hey, Rogue River, due to unforeseen circumstances, and the unforeseen circumstances, their lead has no voice, we will be canceling the opening night of Up the Down Staircase. We are so very sorry, but plan to be back on track to open tomorrow evening at 7 p.m. Doors open at 6:30. And so, as usual with the play, they generally run for 2 weeks, and they'll have a Friday and a Saturday show. And so they're going to try and be on for tomorrow. Hopefully that the lead gets their voice back in time for tomorrow's show. And then, of course, they'll have shows again next weekend. And again, show times are at 7, doors open at 6:30, but tonight is canceled. So if you had plans to head to the play tonight, you'll have to make some new plans. I think maybe I might sneak in a viewing of The Mandalorian. I'm a huge Star Wars fan, and thanks to Verizon, I got my Disney Plus, so I'm pretty excited about that. A lot of good stuff on there. I saw some people complaining about things that weren't there, and the funny thing is, one of the ones I saw someone complaining about the very next day, there it was. It was like, it's on there now, so they must have heard your complaints, because It's a pretty cool service, and I've got it free right now through Verizon. If you have any of Verizon's unlimited plans, you can get that. And this isn't an ad for them. In fact, I have some issues with Disney, at least the Disney of today. I don't think that Walt Disney would be really happy about some of the directions they've gone. Nevertheless, there's a lot of good content in that service. So I'm going to check that out tonight. And if you wanted to go to the play, you'll have to try to go tomorrow night. And that's all we've got for you today. So everybody be good to one another, because Rogue Talk is over.
You've been listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge.
Listen to Rogue Talk with Jeff Smith Fridays at 3 p.m. right here on Rogue River's Hometown Voice.
94.3 The Bridge.
Or on demand at 943thebridge.com.